No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ashton Jeanty, who's going to select him? Where is he going? Let's talk about all the rumors right now.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
What is going on, Bears fans? Congratulations. You've made it to draft week. It's finally here. We'll actually know who the Bears are going to have a part of this football team in just 4 days, Thursday night. It's happening. You made it. Congratulations to everybody that, you know, partakes in this glorious week and who maybe have been dreading everything up to this point because you're tired of mock drafts, you're tired of all the speculation. And honestly, that's what this whole entire show is going to be about. So I apologize, but we're almost there. And you've made it. Congratulations. I hope everybody had a great Easter Sunday, got to celebrate with family. You know, it was kind of funny. Our Easter, I ended up, my uncle, we were kind of hanging out. And he hadn't watched The Last of Us yet. And so I had to introduce him to season 1, episode 1. That, and if that doesn't get you into the series, then I don't know what will. So now he's hooked, and he has to hurry up and catch up to what just happened last night, season 2, episode 2. No spoilers here. Please leave all the spoilers out of the comments for people who haven't watched or who like the show just as much as I do. Love the video game as well. So great. It's been a great start already to this week. But before we get into this episode, all the rumors and speculation that came out, make sure you like, subscribe, leave a comment on this podcast, and also share it with a fellow Bears fan. Also, if you are an audio listener, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, we're on all those platforms. So make sure any way that you want to consume the Nicholas Moriano Show, there's a way for you, and make sure you share it with a fellow Bears fan. So let me just tell you my idea last night. I was like, you know what? I still need to do another mock draft. I'm going to end up doing another one before Thursday night. But my whole plan for today's show prior to this morning was that I was just going to do a live mock draft. I actually use ESPN's mock draft simulator, not PFF's, just to kind of vary it up a bit. And I still plan to do that. But with just everything that I felt that came out today from Adam Schefter, you have, if you guys listen or follow Todd McShay still, he has his own YouTube channel, The Todd McShay Show, has a newsletter. He put out some good stuff there. There's actually some news that was on the NFL Network, too, with Daniel Jeremiah and his media call, or his call with the media that came out the 18th. So that's actually a little bit or a few days ago. So there's all this, as Jay puts in here perfectly. There's all this smoke about everything. It's not even about trading up. It's trading down. It's Ashton Jeanty. It's all these. There's a lot of smoke everywhere. And our job here is not to decipher what is real, what is not, because I think that's impossible to do. But hey, this is kind of the final week to be in this speculation mode. Let's talk about the hypotheticals. And this is it. So we'll kind of just, I don't know, let's just embrace it for these last couple of days, because after this, we'll have definitive results, we'll have draft classes, we'll have players, and that's it, right? So there's a lot to talk about. I'm like, I have this monitor open. I have my laptop here. This monitor, I should get that one going too. But there's plenty to talk about here as we're kind of going through everything. And I think we're just going to start here with the Ashton Jeanty news or smoke or however you want to put it and phrase it. Because you, depending on what source material you're reading or listening to, there are things that are a little bit different. But let's start what I think is going to, what is probably hit home the Bears fans the most so far. And that came out of just Adam Schefter's article that dropped this morning, NFL Draft Intel, everything we're hearing ahead of round one of Thursday night's draft. And I think the pair, and I'm not going to read it all because it's the ESPN Plus article. And obviously, it would be far too much to read. There's like a bunch of different subheads of different topics that you can go into. But the one that we're going to focus on, there's two really that I want to get into. But the first one, Jeanty's superpower and which team could target him. It seems fitting because it does have a whole paragraph on the Bears. But this one, you know, kind of highlights all the running backs that are in this class. But what differentiates Ashton Jeanty from everybody else? And I will read this stat to you. Jeanty has a remarkable ability to break tackles and gain yards after contact. In fact, Jeanty had 1,733 rushing yards after contact last season, while Omarion Hampton, regarded as the number two back in this class, had 1,660 total rushing yards. Jeanty's total rushing yards after contact are the most by any FBS player in a season over the past 5 years. That's an insane number. And when you watch Ashton Jeanty, honestly, it makes sense that that number is what it is. He breaks tackles. It's you hardly see the first guy actually bring a guy like that down. So there's no reason why he is highly regarded amongst, I think, NFL teams, and why teams may even go out of their way to want to get a guy like this, a running back, and how Ben Johnson views these guys, weapons. But here's the paragraph that I think, again, pertains the most to Bears fans. And again, the headline or the few texts in the thumbnail for today's show. There are multiple personnel people who believe the Bears are praying that Jeanty slips to them at number 10. They think new Bears coach Ben Johnson could feature Jeanty and DeAndre Swift as a two-headed duo the way the Lions did with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs when Johnson was Detroit's offensive coordinator. We're going to go through a different scenario, pick this apart, and kind of just how I thought about it when I first read it, saw it was circulating all over social media this morning. Multiple personnel people. We'll never know who these multiple personnel people are. Are they some people in the Bears? Are the Bears wanting to get this message out there that they want Jeanty to slip to them? Is it what other teams are obviously thinking that the Bears are wanting? There's so many different ways that messaging, that news, how it gets out there, who it's coming from, and how it could affect other teams. Here's the first one. It could be that is truth. The Bears would love to have. I'm sure the Bears would love to have one of the maybe 5 to 6 blue chip prospects fall all the way to 10. And you know what? If he's probably there, I think the Bears would take him. Especially if, you know, two tackles go ahead of him, not in love with any of the pass rushers at that spot. Tyler Warren's gone, for example. Yeah, if one of the top players in the draft falls to you there, I think they would take him. That's just one way that you can think about it. Another way is that if this is messaging, I don't know, coming from the Bears, that they would love it to slip to him, is that telling other teams, like, if you're not willing to move up or trade with us, that he's going to be gone. And so there's maybe this incentive if the Bears actually don't want Jeanty, you know, hey, come up, make a trade with us. so that we can obviously gain more draft capital, select the guy that we ideally would want in the middle teens somewhere. Maybe it's a totally different position. Who knows? But it's just interesting that this always happens. A few days before the draft, there is, as Jay said earlier, a lot of smoke. A lot of smoke. And now I'm seeing, as I'm looking at the chat, where'd it go? Adrian, Nick, did you see the Jonathan Jones report? What did Jonathan Jones have? I must have missed this. But if you want to put that in here, that'd be great. Or I can probably look it up as I'm talking here, but have not seen that, to be completely honest. So let's keep adding fuel to the fire of all the stuff that is being talked about right now, 3 days before the NFL draft is set to commence for night one in Green Bay. I have not seen it. But if you can, if anybody can find that, just put it in the chat while we're kind of talking about these things. That would be great. Add more craziness to what this Monday has been. And like I said, I had like, this would have been a fun interactive. We would have all been the GM of the Bears and just drafting in this mock draft. And that will happen this week. But I just, not with all this coming out. We have to talk about this. So that's it right there. The Bears are praying that Ashton Jeanty falls to them at 10. And I saw some people like, Nick, who do you think the Bears are taking? Robert, if Ashton Jeanty is available at 10, I do think they would take him. I do. If Will Campbell is still on the board, I think they take him as well. I'm going to go through every scenario. If so-and-so is there, I think they'd take him. You know, I can definitely see them, you know, talking themselves, not even, they don't have to talk themselves into Tyler Warren. I can see all the benefits that Tyler Warren would bring to the Chicago Bears if he's there at 10. Ashton Jeanty's gone. You already have, like a couple of tackles that they like are gone. There's been a lot of smoke about Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas. I mean, I like Kelvin Banks more than some, I don't know how to phrase that last part, but I don't know if that's, is that the pick at 10? I don't know. Speculate. And we're getting, again, we have to embrace this. Embrace the speculation. Embrace the hypotheticals, because it's literally not going to be here for another, until around this time next year. One last thing that I do want to get into when it pertains to this article from Adam Schefter from ESPN that came out this morning are some of the teams that are willing to trade back and willing to trade up. And so this subhead is called, where are the trades and who could get dealt? And here there's two paragraphs I do want to read, just so, again, you understand it. Again, I don't want to give out too much. There's so much in this article, especially when it pertains to other teams. But for the Bears, this is what I think matters the most. On the other side of things, the Steelers, number 21, are among the teams interested in moving back from their first-round slot. That list also includes the Jaguars at 5, Panthers at 8, 49ers 11, Falcons at 15, Seahawks at 18, Buccaneers 19, and Vikings 24, who currently have 4 picks. The Vikings currently have 4 picks, the fewest of any team. So when you're looking at the teams willing to move back, I mean, 2 of those teams are ahead of the Bears at who have the 10th slot, with the Jaguars at 5. And that would get really interesting with the Jaguars at 5, but the Panthers at 8. If maybe it is one of those tackles that are still on the board, and one of these teams absolutely needs it, what they believe is the tackle of the future, maybe that's what you do at 5 or 8. Ashton Jeanty could easily be one of those trade up, or one of those options that you could potentially want to trade up for. And if the Jaguars and Panthers see a suitor there, that would be interesting. But those are the teams willing to trade back. And not listed among one of those teams, more importantly, is the Bears. I don't know. That's what, you know, Adam Schefter's hearing. That's what ESPN put out there. But they're not one of the teams willing or looking to potentially trade back, or what they're hearing at this point. We'll see if that comes to fruition come Thursday night. Here's the last other part here. There's been, however, a lack of teams willing to trade up. Teams want to trade back, trade up, at least so far. Denver is one of those. The Broncos have made inquiries, about moving up in round one, according to sources, but there aren't many others. This also could change when players start falling and teams are on the clock. I wonder what Denver, to be completely honest, I haven't looked too much into what their needs are or what they would be willing to do or how far they'd be willing to move up. But only as it states right now, Monday morning, Denver is your one team. So we'll see how that plays out, you guys. But I thought that was just really interesting from ESPN putting all this out there to kind of, again, this is only one version of the smoke. We're going to get to another version real quickly. And actually, at the 15-minute mark, we'll take a break at 20 minutes here. Let's go Todd McShay here next, and then I'll get into Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network, his call with the media on April 18th, and just some of the takeaways from that article and how maybe it conflicts with some like Todd McShay or also Adam Schefter, what they're all hearing. But here is Todd McShay, and if you're a fan of the draft, you know who Todd McShay is. But doing his own thing, Todd McShay Show, I really enjoy it. You can subscribe to him on YouTube and, you know, obviously puts like shorts, things like that, everything you kind of need. But also has a newsletter, and this is also circulating on Twitter. Jeti to the Raiders is far from a sure thing. Far from a sure thing. Ashton Jeti, and this is verbatim what he wrote. Ashton Jeti is one of my tier one prospects, but he's a running back. If you're the Raiders picking at number six, do you draft the top edge defender on your board and hold out to see whether a player like Travion Henderson is available when you pick again at number 37, that's what I'm hearing may happen. It's looking more likely that the Raiders could pass on Jeti at six and target the best edge available, whether that be Jalen Walker or his Georgia teammate, Mykel Williams. My gut tells me Pete Carroll would opt for the traits of Williams, but it's just a hunch. There's a lot there too. I mean, and especially, so this is where it gets interesting. The Raiders have that 37th pick. The Bears pick at 39-41. So they'd be, and maybe the Bears are also identifying Travion Henderson if Ashton Jeti's not the guy. So maybe they see something that the Bears also see in terms of the type of quality of running backs, what you could still get in that second round. But it is interesting. And that's, I think, a very valid conversation when it comes to Ashton Jeti. Unfortunately, he is still running back. Like that, I think, is still going to be something that teams are battling with themselves, especially in the top 10. If you're wanting to commit to that, right? And I get it. I mean, I think what he did in college is translatable to the NFL, but it is still at the running back position in what is regarded as one of the best and deepest running back classes. And I told you what the difference is that highlights him from other backs with the yards after contact, right? So it's just something, a level, it's just this thinking that I think NFL teams need to be honest with and talk about as they're looking to potentially select, you know, running back with their first overall pick who happens to be in the top 10. That is just one of the considerations, but you want to go maybe, I don't know, reach a little bit for an edge rusher there? I guess you could. I don't know. I mean, it depends on team CJ and Walker and the maybe upside of Mykel Williams. And I still think I like Mykel Williams more than most too, as well. That ankle injury, you got to factor that into what his 2024 season was and maybe why you didn't see the consistent dominant production from him. But I mean, it's kind of difficult to bend around the corner. I don't know, play the edge position when you have a bummed ankle. But he did anyway, and I think that shows a lot about him. Here we go. Adrian, appreciate you. Before we get to a break, I just want to see what Jonathan Jones is saying. Multiple teams have seen Josh Simmons' medicals and are – oh, I did see this. Let me continue reading here. This is from Jonathan Jones, CBS. Multiple teams have seen Josh Simmons' medicals and are happy with the situation. Simmons is viewed as the most talented offensive tackle in the draft and may go very high. That also gets really interesting. There was also, who was it that had, and I'm Tyler Dunn. Does great work. Just feature articles, things like that. But he also had some stuff come out on Josh Simmons. And I guess the person is what is also maybe a factor if you're thinking about wanting to select him. Because there were some interesting quotes from scouts about his character and how, you know, he's kind of viewed as a teammate. And it just didn't paint him in the best light. You have to go look that up. Josh Simmons, Tyler Dunn. Did a great job, always does with these in-depth pieces. Fantastic writer. But that's interesting, man. That just puts another very – football on the football field, what Josh Simmons can do, no question. And I think last year, obviously gets injured, but didn't play the toughest level competition in his, you know, time that he was playing. But, I mean, if you just see what how he plays the game, there's no doubt he's one of the top offensive tackle prospects in this class. And if his medical's clear, man, now you're, again, those are the questions that you need to have as a staff. If you're wondering whether I don't know, is it a risk taking this guy? Again, all fascinating questions that need to be answered. You have a couple of days to speculate before the 2025 NFL draft. All right, let's take a quick break here. And get to what is also being said by Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, because there's also, I don't know, a little bit of contradicting going on. Again, it's all, you know, who these guys respected in obviously in the league, NFL, in terms of, you know, where they're getting certain source info and what they're projecting and what teams are maybe telling them. This, a bunch goes into this, you guys. So and this happens all the time, especially what? Monday of draft week. I don't know why, like, I was planning to do a mock draft show, not thinking ahead, like, what could come out on Monday? Boom, literally everything. Well, let's take a quick break, and let's start with our friends at Windy City Sports Cards. As you guys know, they specialize in buying and selling all things related to Chicago sports. Whether you're a diehard fan of the Bears, Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, or Blackhawks, they've got you covered with an extensive selection of sports memorabilia and collectibles. In addition to the Chicago-focused items, everybody, they also offer a vast collection of sports memorabilia, trading cards from your favorite teams and players. Visit their online store to find exactly what you're looking for to complete your collection or to discover a new favorite. You can check them out at 312-WindyCitySports.com. That's 312-WindyCitySports.com. And I also have to tell everybody about my friends at Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville. It's a one-stop shop for all your needs. And what I mean about all your needs, everybody, sales, service, parts, and body shop. It's all available at Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville, located at 1050 South Milwaukee Avenue in Libertyville, Illinois. The team prides themselves on their service, winning Dealership of the Year twice, everybody. So check out their website at NapletonCadillacLibertyville.com to see all their new and pre-owned vehicles, including the new all-EV Cadillac Lyriq. It's a sweet-looking vehicle. You got to check it out. You can do that by subscribing to their YouTube channel to view more of their vehicles, which you can find in the description below. It's conveniently placed for you, so you can check it out after this show. Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville, your one-stop shop for all your needs. All right, what's up going on, everybody? This is the Nicholas Moriano Show. We are going through rumors, smoke, all that smoke. We want all the smoke a couple days ahead of the draft. And here's the next, I don't know, the next version of the smoke here. And what, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, who I say this all the time. I mentioned bring him up on this podcast, but one of the most respected guys in the game. And Eric Edholm was actually somebody, he's also really plugged in, but he wrote the five biggest NFL draft takeaways from Daniel Jeremiah's conference call previewing the 2025 event. And let's start with, I think, number two. The five takeaways, we're going to start with number two here. and it says potential top five surprise. Okay. And, you know, I might just read this verbatim so it gets, again, it's a clear message, so I'm not paraphrasing everything. But it says, for weeks now, two of the chalkier mock draft selections outside the top three picks have been Michigan defensive tackle Mason Graham to the Jaguars at number five and Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders at number six. Might we have those two flipped around? And I'm like, what? Flip these two around. Okay, interesting. Jeremiah said Jeanty would be a great option, in quotes, for the Raiders with the sixth pick. But he also mentioned the Jaguars as a team to keep an eye on for Jeanty, calling it a potential, quote, statement pick at number five for the new regime in Jacksonville. And then here's the quote from Daniel Jeremiah in that conference call. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but when I listen to Coach Liam Cohen and GM James Gladstone talk and discuss what they're looking for in a player, Jeremiah said, and valuing the things that they're valuing in terms of the character, the competitiveness, all those things. I'm like, golly, that sounds like two players to me. That sounds like Ashton Jeanty, and that sounds like Georgia pass rusher Jalen Walker. So I would not rule out the possibility that Jeanty went ahead of the Raiders pick, and then he's off the board. Now you got to worry about the possible Jacksonville Jaguars at five for Ashton Jeanty if you're one of those Bears fans wanting and needing him to fall to the Chicago Bears. I mean, at this point, like, I am not going to rule out anything, especially with this draft. You just can't. There's, like, I think Cam Ward going one is, like, the safest surefire thing that's going to happen Thursday night. Other than that, literally, it could be anything. I would expect Travis Hunter, you know, top three, but that's literally it. Other than that, it really gets whatever happens, happens. And you can, you know, be braced for that, but that's just how I see it. As I'm kind of still looking in that same subtopic, potential top five surprises, I just want to make sure I'm not overlooking. I see the Calvin Banks Jr.'s name, so let me just see really quickly. Jeremiah also mentioned the need for an immediate offensive guard and possible future tackle, such as Texas Calvin Banks Jr., and that's referring to the Raiders. Okay. I don't see that one happening, but I digress. Let's go to number four, though, of his takeaways, because all about the Bears. Number four, Bears in enviable spots. Okay. Abdul Carter, too. I see you, Squeegee. Oh, that's not Squeegee. Abdul Carter. For one, I mean, yeah, sure. I just think at this point it is Cam Ward. It could be wrong, too. Adrian, apparently Todd McShay mentioned Tet McMillan being interested. I saw that, too. I saw that, too, man. Dude, all this stuff is coming out at the right time, right? Get everybody thinking, throw smoke where there is no fire and do the exact opposite. Who knows? Oh, take the north. You mean the guard, Kelvin Banks. That's also too, right? I know I'm getting sidetracked for maybe the listeners of the show, but I'm just reading some of the comments here. And take the north, you mean the guard, Kelvin Banks. I know that Dane Brugler from the Beast has him as a guard. And I know there are teams that also have him at tackle. Like, it all depends on the team, right? Team and the fit and what they see best projecting for that player's future. But, yeah, could all be in play for some of these players that have these little in-betweens here. But here, let's read number four real quick. And this, I did read the title of the article. Eric Edholm wrote it. Published on April 18th, so actually a couple days ago, but didn't mention on the show, so definitely want to bring it up. Bears in enviable spot. Jeremiah mentioned the Bears as a team to watch in next week's draft, loaded with four relatively early picks to buttress. It's a great word, support. What has been another big offseason full of additions. This is in quotes. They're in a fantastic position when you're picking 10, 39, 41, and 72, he said. They get four instant impact players with the way this draft shakes out. But figuring out which order to address their position of need will be key. If the Bears are locked in on upgrading at offensive tackle, Jeremiah suggested they act quickly. Here's quotes again from Jeremiah. If you are dead set on getting an offensive tackle and you want to get your long-term left tackle, you're going to want to do that with your first pick, number 10 overall. I just don't love the possibilities of you seeing someone that's going to be an upgrade over what you have once you get into the second round of this particular draft. You know, that I thought that was kind of interesting too. And I guess it depends. Like, we were just talking about Simmons from Ohio State, like where he ends up going. The medical is clear. He's definitely a first rounder, but I've also seen mock second rounder. Josh Connerly Jr. from Oregon, I think, has been, depending on who you talk to, highly regarded as one of the better tackles too in this draft. And for Jeremiah, it's not, doesn't feel as confident as he does about obviously what you would get potentially in the first, with your first overall selection at number 10. Here's more of the section. But even if a top offensive tackle doesn't fall to them at 10, Jeremiah said that having the three picks that follow allows them to let the board come to them. That can mean taking one of the top two tight ends or Jenty at 10 if they're available. Here's quotes. If they want to reinforce a defensive line, get an edge rusher. To me, in a sweet spot for them would be pick 39 for an edge rusher. That's a great area to find that guy. And honestly, that I completely agree with Daniel Jeremiah there. I don't know, just when you do these exercises, mock drafts, and you use a grading system that each respective PFF, ESPN uses, like, I feel like you do find a lot of value there in that second round at 39. Lots of guys. Like, I've had James Pierce. I've had JTT from Ohio State. Like, there's so many different players that you could potentially choose in those mocks that may or may not be there in real time on day two of the draft on Friday. But it does feel like you can find a lot of good value right then and there if you're trying to upgrade the edge rusher. Let me continue this really quickly. This is more from Daniel Jeremiah in quotes. They're in a great spot where they don't have to be aggressive with the first pick. Somebody's going to go to them there that they're going to love and is going to start from day one and make an impact. I'm almost more excited to see what happens with their next picks because that's going to be a fun combination of players they put together. I agree. And this is how the rest of the section ends. Big picture, Jeremiah doesn't believe the Bears' defense is fully complete, but with Ben Johnson joining forces with Caleb Williams, it would certainly make sense if they lean heavily in the offensive direction this draft. And here's the final quotes from Daniel Jeremiah. We could look at the defensive side of the ball and you can find holes, but at the end of next year, if Caleb Williams has taken a massive leap with Ben Johnson, I think Bears fans will be feeling pretty darn good about the direction, he said. So that's why, if it's close, I look to that side of the ball. I can't really fight back on that logic there. As much as I think Dennis Allen obviously has a voice in that room, all the defensive coaches obviously do. If, you know, those grades are pretty darn close when it comes to one of, maybe an offensive player versus a defensive player at a position of need, or maybe not even a position, just a position that they value high on their board, you know, maybe offense just gets the leeway here. And especially if it's Ben Johnson making this final, you know, Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles making these final decisions, it could just end up that way. And there could just be better value later on for defensive players in this draft. So, again, nothing too shocking there, but I really resonated with the finding the edge rusher at 39. Could the Bears realistically take someone at 10? They could. I don't know if Abdul Carter's not going to be there. Shocking, but like, if it's like, if you're debating between a Michael Williams, a James Pierce, Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. I don't know, Adrian, this is a good one too. Adrian, you've been on it today, man. Appreciate you, dude. Nick Gordon, another guy, Texas A&M, just mentioned Shamar Stewart. I like what where he could potentially go if, you know, in that second round there. And also too,
no one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
I mean, what's not mentioned in there, we're just talking about edge rushers. It's interesting about the interior defense alignment. Because after, realistically, Walter Nolan, Derek Harmon, like those type of guys, are probably not making it to early day two. Let's be completely honest. By the time it gets to the middle teens, 15, early as where's Arizona picking? I think they're 14 or 16, somewhere around there. It's like easily they can take one of those interior defensive linemen. Like you're probably missing out on that top group, but maybe you're getting into that second wave of guys at 39, 41. I did like Darius Alexander, despite being an older prospect out of Toledo. A lot of power out of him. I like the way he plays the game. And, you know, maybe that's who you're having to kind of select if you don't decide to get one of the interior defensive linemen early. Strategy and just, I mean, that's all that I think, you know, happening this week. And, you know, we've all, I think at this point, like have heard Ryan Poles talk about, especially around this time and after, you know, draft gets selected, they'll talk about like their process. They go through mock drafts. They do tons of them just to kind of see like what other teams may be thinking. And, you know, I remember just hearing Ryan Poles, maybe it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, maybe mixed up my years, but saying that, you know, one time they went through it and it went exactly how it played out in the draft. So there's like a science to this. There's obviously a little bit of randomness to this as well, because you don't honestly know what everybody's going to do at any given time, depending on who's available. So it all is why we love the draft. It is live television. You never know what's going to happen. That's why a lot of us were tuning into The Last of Us last night for the people who didn't play the game. Shocking. I know. Very, very shocking. I guess I could read number 5 too. On Daniel Jeremiah's top 5 takeaways, because it has stock climbing for tight ends. But, I mean, they go into more than just Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland. Jeremiah is a big fan of the tight end class as a whole, and he has his top 2, Penn State's Tyler Warren and Michigan's Colston Loveland, in the top 7 selection, in the top 7 overall of his most recent ranking of the top 50 prospects. But there is another tight end prospect who might be nipping at their heels, LSU's Mason Taylor. That's interesting. I mean, that's the next guy, I think the consensus next guy, and he did some good things at the Senior Bowl. Mason Taylor, to me, he's an emerging player in that everybody is comfortable with him. Jeremiah said he's a safe player. He's rock solid. He had a nice week at the Senior Bowl. Obviously, his dad is Jason Taylor, Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer and I didn't know Zach Thomas was his uncle, Hall of Fame too. Maybe the Bears would look to not get a tight end early, and they want to go. I think that would also be 39 or 41 too. And it's, it's almost like I love all this stuff. I'm just trying to read between lines and also wanting to like just brush off some of the stuff. But with this draft having, I would say, just so much variance of like the type of players you're getting after six, you just don't know. And that's why we had to talk about all these scenarios, all this smoke for this Monday edition of the Nicholas Moriano Show. It is fascinating. It is fun. And thank God it's almost over. Like, to be completely honest, we're almost done with all this. I'm sure as the days kind of go on, there'll probably be more. Who's going to be the player that rises the most here in the next coming days because of what we're hearing or what, dirt is coming out on particular players. It's all a part of the game. And it's funny because we all love it and hate it at the same time. We got that back and forth here. But that was really what I wanted to share today, you guys. Just because there was a lot there and you can miss a bunch. And I appreciate everyone who kind of helped out here with different information. So Adrian, appreciate you with the Jonathan Jones stuff and, Josh Simmons, but we'll be here all week or leading up to the week. And I'll be at Hell's Hall for all 3 days of the NFL draft. So it'll be great stuff to come out of there. What's cool about the draft and just to kind of, highlight what kind of happens there and why Ryan Poulsen and Cunningham, the Bears, they're all there at Hell's Hall. They're not going to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin. What gets to happen or what we get access to is that the scouts that are part of those picks, they'll talk before Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson do. So we get to kind of get an inside look as to what they're, what they were seeing, what they were hearing, why they, went with this player, how long they've been doing homework, all these things that you typically don't get to have. So we'll get that access for each one of these picks throughout the week, which is also really exciting. And then also really quickly, voluntary minicamp. Bears actually started today, a 3-day window, 3 days. That is happening. And, it kind of gets overlooked, and I completely overlooked that as I'm closing in the 40-minute mark of the show, but the Bears, Jaguars, Raiders, and Jets will all open 3-day mini camps today. The mini camps are voluntary, and teams with new head coaches must run them before the draft. So that's, but it's just on-field, more on-field work. But that is happening today for the next 3 days. So they get that in before the draft ends up happening. You get that extra time to be a little bit more hands-on with the players for these new coaches. And that is also going on while these teams are also still prepping for Thursday night and what they're going to do and how they're going to continue adding to this football team. So let's just continue to come back here. I'll definitely continue these shows. But like I said, that mock draft will be coming. Maybe we'll line up for tomorrow. So if you guys are down to do a live mock draft, let's do it. So I need best GM hats on. Let's make these decisions for the Bears. And, you could sway me. Ultimately, I will have the final say. But if you're present a really good argument, we'll share the screen, show the players up on there. So we see who we're going to, select for the Chicago Bears. And it starts with the pick number 10. But let's plan for a live mock draft tomorrow, unless any other craziness happens, and go from there. All right, everybody, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Nicholas Moriano Show. Okay, actually, really quickly, I have two questions here. Adrian, is Poles speaking tomorrow? Not from what I've been told. There are some other things happening at Hell's Hall, but he is not speaking as of right now, me recording this. So, no. And then take the North. I get it, the trades. Let's see how quickly or maybe how slow the first draft goes, the first mock draft, and hopefully everything goes smoothly. And if it goes quickly enough, then yeah, maybe we will do another. Maybe we'll do another mock draft where we do trades. So we're going to say no to the first one, and then we'll kind of go from there. And then, Squeegee, what time? Plan for, let's plan for 11. That's usually a normal time. I wanted to get on a little earlier today just because I have some other things planned for later today. So 11 o'clock, live mock draft. And I'm not going to use PFF this time. Actually, maybe we might use both, depending on timing. But we're going to use ESPN's mock draft simulator. I like the format of things. I think it works well. So we'll go with that one for tomorrow. So again, be ready. I could be swayed, but like I said, I'll be the final say of who gets drafted by the Bears, but it'll be a collaboration with you guys. And it'll be a fun little exercise to see what we come up with. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. Please like, subscribe, leave a comment, share this YouTube channel with a fellow Bears fan. Also, if you are someone that's an audio listener, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, really anywhere you listen to your podcast. So appreciate everybody for tuning in, hanging with me on your, Monday morning. Hopefully you had a great Easter weekend. Watch The Last of Us because it's amazing. I love it. I love video game adaptations too. Big video game guy over here. Definitely was back in the day. I still play a little bit here and there, but great episode. Definitely got to go check it out. But that's going to do it. I will catch you guys tomorrow for that live mock draft. But until next time, adios, Bears fans.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.